Probably one of the more established and still growing games for blind and partially sighted people is golf. Do I say games? Do I say sport? Well, you can compete at all sorts of levels if you just want to play socially, if you want to play in tournaments even around the world. Whether you've held a golf club before or never, there are opportunities to take up the game. Jim Gales is with us from Phoenix Golf, and we also have Mark Arnold from the USA chatting about an event which is coming up. It's the Phoenix Cup. Jim, what's the background to the tournament? How did it all come together?
This will be the 32nd Phoenix Cup across in Ohio, US of A. We've done a little bit of a changeover this time because we're having a world squad against the USA. So what we're doing is getting invitations sent out to the various countries like Canada, Italy. We're inviting the English along just for a laugh. But there'll be other countries as well, like Ireland, as many as possible. I think I'm right in saying that we've got approximately 20 people who have never played in a Phoenix Cup before. 50% of the world squad are coming from the likes of amputees, cerebral palsy, multiple sclerosis, etc. But we've settled on 50% of each team will be made up of blind and partially sighted players.
What's the record like for wins then over the 30-odd years the tournament's been going?
Over the years of the 32 competitions that we've held, there's always been a little tweak here and there. So it might have been Canada v USA. Mark's done a couple of those in the past. We've done world and European teams, and we've even done a North Hemisphere v Southern Hemisphere competition. So we can't really turn around and say America's won 6 and we've won 5. It doesn't quite work that way. Plus, we've done a little tweak every so often. The main competition is based on the Ryder Cup, the Solheim Cup. One time we've had 4 teams in it, another time we've had 6 teams in it as well. So there's always been slight variations on the theme.
Keeps it fresh every year then, Jim. Mark, you've been playing golf for quite a while now. How big is the game in the States for people particularly who are blind or partially sighted?
I am actually one of the co-directors of American Blind Golf, and I certainly would like to start off by thanking Jim and the Phoenix Cup committee for actually accepting our proposal. The local course that will be hosting the Phoenix Cup Pine Valley, their owners, Michael and Lisa Reynolds, saw us quite often, my coach Randy and I, practicing for last year. And before we left, they said, what would it take to bring a world event to Pine Valley? And I said, possibly me putting in a proposal. And we put the proposal together, talked it over with Jim. And again, I can't express my gratitude to Jim and the entire Phoenix Cup organization group for accepting the proposal and allowing us to host it. We are very much looking forward to it. Lots of our spreading the game, if you will, is done by our members and word of mouth. And I think Jim was a forerunner in aligning the blind and vision impaired golf community with adaptive golf as a whole. And many of our members are playing in adaptive championships around the United States. And the networking is really how we have started to obtain more members in American Blind Golf. And of course, we have social media and our websites, but we're always looking for new ways to grow the game and expose it to other individuals that never thought they would ever consider picking up a golf club because of their lack of vision.
Jim, is it still growing? I mean, Phoenix Cup-wise, what's it like membership? Are you still looking for more people to join? Is it quite easy to get people to join up?
We just looked at this the other day. Actually, we had a meeting with Scottish Golf. We have just over 400 members in Scotland, plus 600 out with Scotland. So just about 1,100 members in total. We're always looking for new people because there's people move on. There's people lose interest in golf, and I can understand that after the way I played just the other day. But there's all sorts of things coming on. We've actually just got an excellent working relationship with the St. Andrews Links Trust, obviously based in St. Andrews, where we hosted the 30th Phoenix Cup. They've taken our idea of the hubs, and the hubs, taster sessions, clinics, call them what you will. They're introducing new people all the time. And certainly at the moment, all our new members are coming via St. Andrews, which is great.
an absolute brass ring you'd be reaching for is that it would be available in every country around the globe. It certainly is available on every continent.
Yeah, most countries seem to have a good grasp on it now. I mean, I suppose there's a big gap in the likes of South America, parts of the Far East, China, Russia. They have no sort of concept of what blind golf is. I mean, there is an international group, which is fine, but there's a lot more blind golfers out with, as individuals, as part of other organizations, than there is within the international blind golf community. So bringing those together and bringing all the adaptive, the disabled groups together as well, that would be nice. It is going to be a challenge, and it's certainly not something that's going to be helped out at Paralympic or Olympic level. It has to be at country level, I think, at first before it moves on.
Mark, you've played golf for many, many years now. You started quite young. Why do you stick with it? Jim, we talk to him, says it's a really frustrating sport. What keeps you playing?
That is a tremendous question and a timely question for me. I think the reason that keeps me playing is, first of all, I can't stay away. It has become an addiction to most golfers. They just can't imagine not picking up a club and swinging a club. But I think that what I like most about it that keeps me playing is that it's ever evolving for me. Because I have a degenerative visual disorder, I started way back in blind golf as a B3. There are three categories in blind golf: B1, B2, and B3. And B3 are the better sighted golfers, if you will. Their vision's just less than what we would say 2200 here in the States. And I had the good fortune of being pretty good at it. But as my vision deteriorated into the B2 category, there were all kinds of changes utilizing my coach and different techniques to keep playing. And I played pretty successfully as a B2. But now that I'm nearing pretty close to just light perception, it's a whole new ball game. It was very difficult for me to continue trying to play as a B1 golfer. And in all honesty, there were numerous times when it was, maybe it's time for me to hang it up. I'm just not getting this. And other blind golfers around the world, as friends, wouldn't allow me to do it. My coach wouldn't allow me to do it. Everyone sort of was the cheerleaders, and I kept going. And we finally started to get it. And I really believe that soon I will be very competitive against the other B1 golfers, but the transition at that third step was a difficult one, but an enjoyable one.
Despite the deteriorating sight, you still see the challenge there. You still sort of rise to the challenge, and you're sticking with it as well. Jim, how do you encourage people to take up the game then? Is that easy to do? Is that difficult to do?
Yeah, I think if you put obstacles in the way, or you make things a little bit too difficult, you say you must do this, you must learn this particular skill, it just doesn't work. You've got to just organize a day, whether it's a hub, a clinic, a taster session, or anything like that, and just invite them along and say, right, spend 10 or 15 minutes with a pro, hit a few balls, hold the club the right way, things, absolute basics. Take them away from that, cup of tea, sandwich, whatever, and then say, right, what do you fancy doing now? Do you want to do that again, or do you want to try something else? Bits and pieces gradually. I mean, to touch on what Mark said there as well, it doesn't matter how experienced you are, whether you've played for 5 minutes or 50 years. There's two things that always spring to mind that every golfer talks about. You can go out on your favorite course in the world and you can hit the best round of your life. You come off the course, I've got this, I've got it cracked, I know what I'm doing. All I've got to do tomorrow is go out and do exactly the same. And I'll guarantee that nobody ever will. Will stand on the first tee and just swing the club and say, what on earth am I doing? But they'll get right round the course, they'll do 17, 18 holes, and they'll just have a mind switch, and then they'll absolutely cream one down the 18th. And that's what brings them back. It's the best and the worst frustration in the world.
And an addiction, as Mark called it as well. Jim, just remind us when the Phoenix Cup tournament takes place in the US and Ohio.
World teams travelling away from the various countries around about the 11th, 12th, 13th of June with a competition practice round on the 15th. And that runs through to the Thursday. The competition finishes then. And then, well, the highlight for some will be on the Friday, which is going to be the charity scramble. And I think there's going to be upwards of 100 people taking part in that, sponsors, players, coaches, celebrities even. Yeah, well, that's me and Mark, of course. We're all playing in a huge event where around about 8 or 9 of the holes will have various competitions on, fun events. And I believe one of them you've got to get dressed up for. It's a bit of a highlight towards the end. And then there's various things around about the event as well. So potentially everybody's going there and it could be playing for 5 straight days.
It sounds like a fun event and a huge event, Jim. But you mentioned sponsorship as well. That must be vital to put on something like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to return the compliment from Mark's earlier mention, what's happened in the past, using St Andrews as an example, where because it was the 30th Phoenix Cup and it was at St Andrews, home of golf, etc., we promoted it quite a lot. And we managed to get enough sponsorship so that all the people travelling from around the world were well looked after with the likes of catering, free golf, carts, or buggies as we would call them, everything like that, even some local transport was thrown in as well. And that level of sponsorship and support is actually quite rare these days. But I can say that Mark's done a fantastic job with his team in Wadsworth, Ohio, to give it the proper mention. And they've got easily an equal to that support with the package that he's pulled together for us guys going across there, you know, paying a nominal entry fee, the golf's there, the hotel, some local transport, practice time. But everything's there for us, and it's a fantastic package.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention our major title sponsor, which is Huntington Bank, that signed on instantly, and Michael and Lisa's assistant, and some of the other businesses and organizations in our area. Certainly the city of Wadsworth will have the lieutenant governor here and several political figures, and the community has rallied. And the very last thing I want to mention is that when American Blind Golf was reformed back in 2009, we'd established a business model which basically was we wanted to use our tournaments to attract attention and sponsorship from around the community to support our collective charities. And the charity scramble that Jim had spoken about is one of our main means of obtaining money for our collective charities. Since we rebranded in 2009, American Blind Golf has donated over $500,000 to our student adaptive scholarship program and to Wounded Warriors over these last 16 years.
Well, we will catch up with you through the event as well to find out how things are going, guys. Jim, if people would like to find out more about Phoenix Cup, then how can they do that?
We have our website set up for everybody, as does Mark, with the likes of social media and stuff. It's all through our website, phoenixcup.org.uk, and everything's on there from the phone to the email contacts and everything like that.
We'll look forward to the tournament, but for the moment, to Jim and to Mark, thanks to both of you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks.
Thank you.